I'm Ellen, and you're listening to The Curvy Pod. My mission is to share conversations with entrepreneurial-spirited women and discuss how they break through barriers to live above the curve and create meaning in their life.
We're excited to introduce our next guest via Zoom while we're practicing social distancing. Kim Caldwell is a self-love coach and an expert bra fitter with over 15 years of experience of getting intimate with people from cup sizes A to N. Previously based in New York City, she made a dramatic move to rural Oklahoma and travels around the world to spread her empowering message of self-love and how to use the everyday ritual of putting on a bra to uncover your confidence, stand in your power, and learn to love yourself. You can all use that right about now. You may have seen her in one of over 100 press outlets, including The Martha Stewart Show, The Today Show, The Rachel Ray Show, and more. You can connect with her on Instagram at Hooray Kim A, HURRAYKIMMAY, or find her at HooraryKimA.com.
Hooray!
Let's get started. We want to welcome Kim Kim A Caldwell today on The Curvy Pod.
Hooray! So excited to see your beautiful faces. I miss everybody.
I know. I was just reading your bio, and actually, I didn't know you had moved away.
Oh, yes, I did.
I was really out of the loop on that one.
Yeah, that's, you know, it happened very, very suddenly in a very serendipitous, divine planning way, which doesn't everything, but now I'm just way more aware of it.
She is a true entrepreneur we met many years ago, but she's going to tell us a little bit today about how this all started for her. Can you tell us a little bit about when that idea first came and how you decided that you needed to follow your passion?
Yeah, I think that this is such an interesting question. Thank you for having me, because you're right. I think that most things are an evolution. I rarely ever feel like something is like, oh, now I'm going to be this thing or whatever. Like, I think that we just evolve as humans. That's how we work. And so you've actually been a big part of that evolution, because I started as a bra fitter 15 years ago, so January of 2005, and really honestly just did it for the money because I needed cash. I was financially independent at 18 years old, and I was going to school full time, and I was working full time, and at the time I was making, I think, $8 an hour, and I was broke. I was just really poor. And so a friend of mine said, hey, this bra shop is opening up. I said, do they pay more than $8 an hour? She said, I think they pay 10. I said, I'm going to be rich. Let's do this. And so I went down there and I got hired on the spot and really learned bra fitting at that shop. But honestly, I was only there for like 8 months. And then I got recruited by Saks Fifth Avenue to work in their intimate apparel department. And so I went there. Totally different clientele, like really different income level, whatever. And yet, I found some similarities between those clients and the clients I was helping at the other bra shop. And mostly it had to do with how they were talking to themselves in the mirror. And it was very similar to how I was talking to myself in the mirror, which was in a really negative way. And this is 2005. So this is before Instagram and before, you know, body positive and body confident movements. And I had only been able to compare my body to what I was seeing in magazines, which at the time especially were really airbrushed and photoshopped. And I just didn't know that as a young person at, like, you know, 20 years old. And so I was really, really hard on my very able, capable, healthy body. And when I noticed that everybody else was too, and I didn't see those flaws they were talking about, I was like, oh, what a waste of time. Oh my gosh, I'm doing the same thing. So I started talking kinder to myself and then helping other people be kind to themselves. What's interesting is that I basically started coaching people in the bra fitting room without knowing it, because I was just helping them with a bra, right? But eventually, once I got hired by La Perla, which was just a few months after I've been working at Saks, again, different clientele, more money, maybe even more privileges, and still these same stories about themselves and who they are. So I realized very quickly that the bra specifically is right over the heart, and that there was a lot of energetic and physical blocking of that part of the body. And I could help people support themselves physically, but emotionally, with a bra as a tool. So that was way back, you know, in the early, mid 2005, 2007. And then I went to work for Just Cavalli really quickly, because I did not think I was meant to be in bras forever. I went to school for musical theater. So I was all about let me just get this high paying fashion job just so I can support my theater career. And I was there for a year, and they sell really beautiful clothes, but gosh, a fancy dress was such a blunt object for me to support someone. And I know some people are phenomenal at helping people in this way, but I just felt like I could help someone with a $55 bra more than I could with a $500 dress. And I was miserable, to be honest. And eventually they let me go, mostly because it was the recession. So this was 2008. And I was upset for like 3 days and then realized really quickly what a blessing that was. And so after that, I had a commercial agent. I was doing some really crafty things. I was doing all sorts of stuff and eventually got sucked back into bras, as we do. And I went back to work for that mom and pop shop. And by this time, they had opened up an e-commerce shop. So now I was not only helping people in the store, but online. And again, those same stories about who they are and what their body should or shouldn't look like all came back. And so I really started supporting people in a digital way, which eventually in 2014 gave birth to my digital business. I have a media company called Hooray Media. And in that setting, I was writing tweets for people. I just really hated the way that most lingerie brands and retailers were talking to people about their bodies. I thought, you know, the biggest company in our lingerie business, Victoria's Secret, was all like, you should want to look like this. Whereas I was like, no, you look amazing. Here's something that's going to support you to really see that and on a daily basis. So that was the birth of Hooray Media. And then again, I realized evolving here. I realized I was doing a lot of behind the scenes work, and I really wanted to partner with brands publicly. And so I took this little blog that I've been writing forever called Hooray Kame and decided to really go with it and pitch brands and say, do you want to work together? Can I share your product? Can I share my expertise with people and support them? And I did it as a total experiment. And here I am now, years later, and I take pictures all over the world and in my underwear and partner with brands on television, on the Rachel Ray Show, and teach bra fitting classes in Paris, and really took one little passion I had to support people and grew it and just let it grow and evolve and change as time went by. So here we are. Hooray. Yeah.
You remember the fear that you felt when you were making that choice to leave the specialty shop and go out on your own? And can you describe how it looked and felt?
Yes, I can. And again, this is where you were such a part of that, because we had known each other professionally as one of the vendors that was at that store. And I remember there were two really important people who helped me really make that leap. And you were definitely one of them, especially because I was so afraid of the logistics. It felt so official. It felt so scary to be suddenly go out on my own. And the story I'd been telling myself is that I don't know enough and that I am not capable of this. And just having someone say, hey, not only can this be easy, but you're not alone, was super, super helpful. So I want to thank you for that. That was really great. And then a second person, which this is kind of a strange turn of events, but again, I believe in like divine timing and support, that years earlier, I had been working with La Perla, and I'd done some television with them. So I did the Martha Stewart Show live back when it was live on NBC, so a million years ago. And that same year in 2007, I also filmed an episode of Tim Gunn's Guide to Style as the bra expert for the show. And one of the producers on that show and I became friends on LinkedIn. I don't even remember like us being close or anything, but I remembered her face. And so lo and behold, here I am at this store, and the company was really changing. They no longer needed a marketing director. They, you know, said, we need your help in the store. I said, that's not what I want to do anymore. And so here was my opportunity to like really go out on my own. And I was hesitating. And this woman walked in and I recognized her face immediately as that producer from like 7 years earlier. And so she came in, I was fitting her, and I finally was like, can I ask you a question? Like, were you a producer on Tim Gunn's Guide to Style? And she's like, I was. I was like, I was on that show. She's like, oh my gosh. Like, that's right. We had this whole, you know, moment. And she's like, well, what are you doing here? And I told her, I said, you know, I really want to go out on my own. She looked me straight in the eye and said, just do it. I said, what? She's like, listen, I would love for you to stay here and be a bra fitter because you're really good at it and you can help me a lot. But guess what? You will never take yourself seriously, and your clients will never take you seriously unless you just go full on. And I was like, oh my, and like literally a couple days later, I left, like completely just quit, started fresh, had one client, you, Alila, and just like went for it. And it was a giant, scary leap. I wish I could tell you that it worked out immediately. It did not. In fact, 1 week later from the day I left, my husband lost his job. And then 2 weeks later, I lost like my only other big client. And I was like, okay, so this is what rock bottom feels like. Yeah. And we had decisions to make. And my husband and I decided to just go for it. And we did.
And so what did rock bottom feel like as a sensation? Like what did that feel like?
Yeah, you know, I'm a person who has a panic disorder. So I definitely feel like physical symptoms of panic are very real to me. But yes. Strangely, in this time, I didn't feel panicked. It felt heavy. I felt like, oh my gosh, like I've really sunk. But it didn't feel, this is going to sound strange, but it almost felt like a relief. It was like, well, I have nothing left to lose. And I felt like we were starting from scratch. And I remember my husband, like waking up and feeling, having my husband next to me. And we had been married for 2 years at the time. And he couldn't sleep. You know, he was just so scared. And I did not share that scariness with him. I felt like, even though this was a bummer, I really trusted that it was all working out. And it felt like we had this giant opportunity in front of us. So I felt very free from the bonds of what we felt like we should do, and felt just a great deal of opportunity ahead of us, which is scary itself. It felt heavy, but it felt like I was getting ready to go up a giant mountain with like a lot of stuff on my back, but I was like digging my heels and we're going to make this happen kind of a feeling.
Yeah.
My coaches likes to say, you know, we create our own prisons of like holding on to stuff or gripping tightly. And there's this in between of like the thing I've been holding on to and the thing over here where if you think of it like a trapeze, there's a wonderful writing about this from someone I can't remember, but that in between the two trapeze is scary. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm flying, I'm floating, am I gonna fall? Like, it's scary. There's no way around that, right? And yet it's so necessary to do that like in between time before you go to the next thing. And if you look at it like I'm free of the last thing to actually be able to grab on to the next thing, it's a different mindset.
Yeah.
That's true. Can you tell us a little bit of some of the techniques that you use to get through some of those tough moments?
Some of these are way, way learned and practiced, because I was not so practiced at this in the past. And so, yeah, so I've worked with coaches. I've worked with a lot of great groups of people and gone to amazing retreats and all sorts of stuff. So this is all very learned. And I will say that my number one tool is actually music. I feel like I am very bound to music. We are very much like in sync. It's like a language I understand very well. And so I use it as a tool to do a lot of these different practices I'm going to talk about. So one of them is I allow myself to feel my feelings. I really feel like in the past I was telling myself I shouldn't or couldn't feel these because that was going to bring me down, when really they were there. And if I just stuffed them down, they were just going to explode later. And so instead of trying to fake it, I really felt it. I feel the feelings, fully honor them, and then have almost like an honest conversation with my feelings about like, what's really going on here? What are you afraid of? What's happening? And then get clear on what's facts, feelings, or fiction. And then let them feel, release all of them. And then I can redecide what I want to do going forward and say, okay, now that I've had this conversation with that fear, that feeling, here's how I want to move forward. And then I celebrate. My best celebration tactic is gratitude. And I think that there's so many gratitude journals and blah, 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 blah. But I think so many of us jump to the gratitude really quickly, and we totally bypass the feeling of the other stuff and the redecision of how I want to feel. And we just go to like, I'm positive, I'm grateful. And like, listen, my whole brand is Hooray Kame. I get it. Positivity is amazing. But we can't really fully get there and stand firm on that if we have this other stuff that we're just like stuffing down. So in my practice, I coach people now, and I have a whole group called the Hooray Clubhouse. We call this ERC, which is eliminate, redecorate, and celebrate. For me, it's like a putting on the brakes of swirling thoughts. So it's like, erk, ERC, erk, brakes. And like, okay, let me be honest about like how I'm feeling. Let me redecide and let me celebrate. So that's my favorite practice.
I'm just writing that down. I like that. Today I was upset about something and I'm like, okay. And I just go for a walk and I take my time think about it. And I say, is this a big deal? Is it not a big deal? Yeah. Can it recover or can't it? And if it can't, I have to let it go. If I can, kudos, right? And you just...
Yeah. And you know what? It's really human to be upset about things. Like this potential like spiritual bypassing of real human feelings around stuff like does no one any good. And so it's really okay to be upset. It's just then you get to decide, what do I want to do with this upset? Do I want to let it consume me? Do I want to wallow in it? Do I want to ignore it? You know, what do I want to do with it? It exists. And so
it should challenge you to decide, is that something worthwhile to be upset about, or is it
totally
a waste of time?
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. The other day, like I actually wrote a letter to my anxiety because.
Hooray. Yes. Perfect.
Hey, I didn't try to, I didn't read a book about it. I just sat there and like thought about, you know, what are some of the things that this is teaching me, but
yeah,
all of those emotions that come up, and I'm a very emotional person. I've always been that way and I allow it to happen, but
yes, girl.
I just think of my emotions like now when they pop up, it's like a pause button. You know, back in the day, I would respond right away. Like, I'm sad. Yeah. I gotta call everyone, or I'm anxious. I got to make all these choices. But now it's like, okay, I'm anxious. We're going to take a pause. So I really relate to what you're saying.
I
don't necessarily file it so nicely, but I'm glad you mentioned that. So now I can go back and listen. But I love that.
That's feeling or fiction. Yes.
Yeah. That was taught to me by someone else, and I fully claimed it. I love it. That and my other favorite practice is compassionate self-forgiveness, because I am definitely my worst critic. And a lot of times the upset is in me and a story I'm telling myself about who I am or what that means about me. Am I a failure? Am I not loved? Am I not enough? Am I not worthy? Am I doing it wrong? And so I've really learned to lovingly forgive myself for misunderstandings that I'm having about who I am based on what's going on outside of me. I will also say that you brought up anxiety specifically. So I'll tell you, this is one of my favorite, this is a silly one, but a favorite New York memory, because when I was living in New York City, you know, people walk around and talk and do seemingly insane or crazy things all the time. So this didn't matter there. There was a time when I physically, the anxiety was so much in my body that I needed to get it out. And so I practiced this all the time. I cannot believe I'm admitting this to you, but I do this all the time, whether it's an issue I need to just like get clear on, or whether it's a prayer I need to have and I want to have it out loud, or it's anxiety I need to get out of my body. And I take my phone and I put headphones in and I pretend I'm having a conversation with someone. I am not. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to my anxiety. I'm talking to God. I'm talking to whoever I need to talk to. And I'm just having a full conversation on the phone. I'm gonna put that in big air quotes, on the phone. And as I'm, you know, with anxiety specifically, I would walk and just like take my arms and just like fling them in front of me and just get it out of my body. Because again, I could just stuff it in and let it sit there, or I could like get it out. And I would, exactly as you had like the letter to yourself, I'd be like, what is it that you need right now? Like, what do you need me to know? What's coming up for me? What are you really afraid of? Because this is not how we want to continue. So talk to me. And I just have a whole conversation with myself about it. And it worked. It really works to like get clear on what's going on inside of you.
Because I think we need to do that. I've been having lots of conversations. The end of mine was like, I know we're going to have to like live together. It felt like a marriage. Like, listen, we're going to have to live together for a long time, but can we compromise? Because I need a moment to breathe. So can you let me have a second? And I promise I'll come back to be worried about unemployment or whatever, but I need a moment. And my anxiety was like, okay, sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much.
We're married. I want to get a divorce, but I've decided I'm going to stick with it. It's a part of me and we're going to figure out how to work together, but not again.
Yeah.
That's so right.
That's kind of how I approached loving my body too, was that like, okay, we're partners. We're in this life together. How do we want to go through this life together? What do you need? And so I started, it's really hard, especially if it's your anxiety or your body, if we're really trained to have pretty poor relationships with those aspects of ourselves, right? And so it's hard to go from I hate you, or I don't trust you, or I don't like how you look or how you act, to I love you and we're best friends or partners, right? But so it's like if on a scale of 1 to 10, you're currently at a -1, to like, how do you get to neutral first, right? And then you go from there up and up and up and up. And I'm so proud to say that with my body, I had made 10 years worth of steps and I was feeling amazing about it. But with my anxiety for years, I was completely ashamed of it. I didn't like to listen to it. I did not have loving conversations with anxiety and emotions. And it took way different practices, but yet similar principles for me to like become friends with it and to be like, what do you need here? Let me see you. I'm not going to push you aside. I'm not going to ignore you. I'm not going to tell people you are the worst. I'm going to say, okay, this is something I deal with and live with. And it's a, we're in a, would you say a marriage? We're in a marriage together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're making a commitment to, we have to figure it out. We're together.
Yes.
Made a vow.
That's great.
Well, speaking of that, I was just thinking in my head, like you sound very successful in a lot of those tools, and that brought me to the word success. But what does success mean to you?
I love this question so much. Again, one of my coaches challenged me on this, and I have a great resource for anyone who wants to dive into this. But there's a book called Authentic Success by Robert Holden. He's a British therapist, I guess, I think. And he has a lot of great kind of self-help books. But in this case, there's a whole book on this, right, to decide what success means to you. And I think success is so truly linked for me to also my definition of hooray, because, you know, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but one of the other questions that you had on the list was like, how do you describe your ideal day in 3 words? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking all day hooray, or like hooray all day. And I don't mean hooray as in like joy and positivity only. For me, like when I say hooray, it's like this feeling of fulfillment, and that I am, this is the same for success, that I am like aligned with my values and my purpose in the world, that I'm living out my why, and like really feel like I'm rooted in that with all of my actions and my being, and that I can truly say that I like myself, I like what I'm doing. Like, this is like a Maya Angelou version of success, right? Like you like yourself, you like what you're doing. I really did not like myself for a long time. And I wasn't like a bad person. I just had really poor self-esteem in relationship with myself. And even though I was outwardly successful, and I was making a lot of money, and I was showing up well to my job and whatever, all that outside stuff didn't matter, because inside I was not at home in who I am. And so I would feel like success to me is really living each day in my purpose, liking who I am, and aligned with my why.
I like that, aligning with my why.
Yeah. Which, if you ever, another book resource, if you ever heard of Simon Sinek, he has that really famous TED Talk from 2008 about start with why, and talks about why it's important for everyone to have a why. And then a couple of years ago, he came out with another book called How to Find Your Why, because everyone was like, cool, 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 we understand why it's important, but how do I find mine? And I remember going to see him talk about this, and I thought I really had my why figured out. I was like, I'm a bra fitter, and I'm fitting people for bras. I'm supporting them to love themselves inside, outside, and underneath. I even had a tagline to go with it. You know, I felt really like I got this. And so I wanted to know the how, like how, but how do I do this? And so he had these two other really great people that were up there with him who co-wrote his second book, whose names I don't remember. They're lovely. And this girl right in front of me, because I remember like hearing them talk, and I was like, ugh, like I get this. I get the why, but like, I want to know the how. Girl right in front of me asked exactly that question. And she was like, I know my why. I want to know the how. And he's like, okay, well, tell us your why. And she said, well, it's something similar to this. Well, I help hospitality professionals have a better work-life balance. And he goes, okay, there's a lot of how in your why already. And she was like, what? And he was like, your why should be able to support whatever you do in any area of your life. He's like, it's the reason that your friends love you. It's the reason that your loved ones and you connect. It's the reason that you wake up and are a parent. Like, do your friends love you because you help hospitality professionals? And she was like, no, my friends love me because I'm funny. He goes, great. That's a lot closer to your why. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so here I went thinking that my why and my identity was so tied to me being a bra fitter. And while that was just one what or one how. So I opened it up. And I came up with my why, which is that I support people to uncover pathways of love within themselves and with each other so that we can have a more harmonious world. Now, I can do that as a bra fitter. I can do that as a coach. I can do that as a wife, as a friend, eventually, hopefully as a mother. Like, I can do that no matter what or how I do it in the world. Mm-hmm. And it completely changed my perspective of what success can mean, because I don't have to bra fit a single person today and I can still be a success. I can still live out my why. I can still be who I was meant to be. Great book. Read it.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a really that's amazing, an amazing way to set yourself up for one version of success, which is, and that's in that same book I'm reading right now. You have to have these goals that align with everything. Like, you can't be like, my goal is to be rich and a mom. Okay, well, right. Once you're rich and a mom, then what?
Yes.
So that's where, like, your midlife crisis comes in, you know?
Like, yes, exactly.
So I think it's really important. That's an awesome way to put what he also said in the book, is like, find some kind of underlying always that can, yep, that can make happen every day. Like, create a calm space everywhere I go. Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
I think, you know, daily success is really overlooked. You know, I'm a Capricorn, so I love making goals and reaching them. Pretty much once I reach it, I'm like, cool, 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 next. And I just keep going and going and going. And it's pretty hard to feel.
I'm not a Capricorn, but I'm like that too.
To feel your success along the way.
Yeah.
And so if you really check in with, like, was I living in my values and aligned with my why today? I don't know. It's just a more fulfilling way to live my life. So
is there some days when you don't feel you fulfill your why, and do you get over it easily, or how do you get over it?
You know what? I think the honest answer to that is that there are probably some days where I feel that I don't.
Right.
But the truth is that I probably am. And those are the days where I'm in some need of, like, extreme self-care. Again, I still really deal with a panic disorder and anxiety. And especially in our current times, there are days when I'm flooded by that. And the best I can do that day is to sit. This really happened the other day, was to sit outside because I needed fresh air, but it was cold. So I put in a parka. So I had a parka and slippers on, a glass of wine, and I was crying outside our apartment, staring at the backyard of this little kid who was chasing bubbles. And I was like, I look like a total creep. I am completely in my feelings. I'm sobbing. I can't even, like, get on the phone with anybody or whatever. I can't even shower today. And I think at the time I might've been tempted to feel like, well, I'm not a success today. Mm-hmm. But the truth was that I needed to go through those feelings and to honor that in order for me to get on the other side of that. And that is just a need I had in order for me to be the best version of myself, which at the time that was the best I could do, truthfully, like, really truthfully, the best that I could do that day. And so, no, I don't, I think in the end, I don't know if I ever classify any day as not a success.
Yeah. And I think your why is so good, because you taking care of yourself creates space for you to take care of others. So on those days,
100%. You're,
it's amazing. I think that's a great why. I love that. I got to think about my why. I'm inspired.
I know, now I'm like, wait,
what is my why?
even when I mentor people for business, like other people who are starting businesses, because everyone's like, teach me your ways. I'm like, well, I'm not going to teach you what I do and what my why is. Like, let's ground in to what your why is and plant your business in that and grow it from there, because that's where you're going to make all your decisions from, not from me and what's important to me. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and your why really lit you up. Like, it showed me that, like, yeah, you got your degree in one thing, and then you went out to New York and you, like, started being navigated by what was lighting you up and seeing those, like, similarities between you and others. And then you went organically in that process. But it was so interesting. I think the why should be something that we're, like, excited to live every day. And
yeah,
you know, I see that.
And
you
I truly
that.
Believe that the so that, which is, like, what Simon Sinek teaches, is like, well, what's the kind of outcome of that, of your, the work you're doing or the way you're being? So me is the so that we can have a more harmonious world. I just think that's so important. I literally think we can like really solve a lot of the issues that we have in our world today if we were more loving to ourselves and to other people.
Oh,
and I think that it's yeah. Right, sigh with me. Like, we need that. I think it's important. I get up in the morning and do the stuff that I'm doing and travel and work hard and whatever, because I truthfully think we need more harmony within ourselves, within our families, within our local communities, and then within the world. Like, whatever is within your arm's reach that you're responsible for, which mine has grown, it's, like, so important for us to create that harmony in the world. Like, we desperately need it. So my why is very much fueled.
Yeah, so speaking of harmony and, like, taking a moment for self-care, can you tell us what your favorite indulgence is?
This sounds so basic. My favorite indulgence is indeed bubble baths. Like, oh, yeah. I could probably take a bath every day, and I take long ones. They're hot. I have, like, two different kinds of bubbles that I use, and salts and fizzy things, and put on top. I have, like, six candles at a time. I turn the lights off. I either put on, like, I told you music is my favorite tool, like, delicious music, or I watch Netflix during it, whatever. I pray in the bath. Like, I take my baths seriously. Like, my self-care bath routine is very serious. So that's probably the most indulgent thing I do, simply because I take them like midday. You know what I mean? Like, I just will like stop everything and take like a 2-hour break to like take a bath and take care of myself. So that's probably the most indulgent thing. The other thing I think is most indulgent is I do like to travel a lot, and I have built my business and my life around that and support myself to like get paid to travel to places like Paris and, you know, take myself out on beautiful dates in Paris and eat delicious food and drink delicious wine and shop for gorgeous lingerie and do beautiful boudoir sessions and gorgeous penthouses, you know, like that's a very indulgent thing to do. And yet I will argue that for both of those things, every single time I do something like that, it fills me up so I can do more in the world. Like, I think indulgence is a dirty word a lot, and I think it is so key. I think it's so important for us to indulge in
necessary
things that feel good. Totally. Yes, indulgence is necessary.
Absolutely.
Especially, I feel like a very privileged person to be able to do those things. You know, I don't have kids, so I have a lot less people and money to be concerned with, but I also am able to create a whole business and life around things that feel good for me. So I do it as often as I can.
Yes.
You gave us a couple of books. Do you have a favorite song that you like to sing?
You know, oh man, if I had to choose one, that's so hard, Ellen. I really evolve my music taste on a regular basis. So let me give you a few things. These are just things for people to explore. So right now, if you are looking for beautiful background music for while you're meditating or feeling your feelings or doing stuff like that, there's two great people, Essie Jane, and then also A Beautiful Chorus. Then I would say that my favorite music to sing is musical theater for sure. And now that I have a car, I get into the car. I've never been able to do this before. 35 years old, I have my first car ever. So get into the car and I drive here in Oklahoma past the cows and I put the windows down and I sing full out to the cows, like full voice.
What about I know you told us a couple books that I'm so excited to look at. What about a favorite quote? Do you have like a favorite quote or mantra that you love?
So I have a whole series of affirmations that I created. If you go to hooraykimay.com/affirmations, they are designed and created for you. So you can put them on your phone like I do. I have one on my lock screen and one on my phone background. And there's a couple that I use on repeat. So one is one that my coach offered to me, which is, this is happening for me, not to me. Mm-hmm. And it's a really great mindset shift when difficult things arise or uncomfortable things arise that like is... how is this here for my learning? What if, you know, the universe or God or whomever you look to for guidance chose this opportunity for you so you could grow or learn or do whatever? And then my other favorite one is one that is similar to the work hard and be nice, but I think hard work in itself is a little over glamorized. And I actually like the word show up and be nice. And I use this on a regular basis. So what I mean by show up is say yes to the things, do the things, go out there, like be productive, show up. But also if you say yes to something, really do it, like really be in it, be present, like show up fully to whatever is in front of you, whether it's a work task, your family, yourself and your body, like show up. And then by be nice, I mean, be nice to yourself, be nice to others. For sure, I have gotten this far in my life and my career because I've built genuine relationships with people and I'm a nice person. And I don't just mean like faux nice. I mean like I genuinely care about myself and others. So on repeat all the time is show up and be nice. Show up and be nice. That is my formula for success. It's literally that simple.
That reminds me, I teach yoga, but one of the things I always tell the students like during CAML or very like apex moment in the class is I always say, remember, the yoga is not happening to you. It's happening from you.
Oh, yes. From you. Amazing.
So yeah, that's a way to hold yourself a little bit more accountable and see what kind of energy you're bringing to your life. So it's similar to what you're saying, and I love it.
Oh, I love that. That's interesting.
Do you have any advice for your younger self?
Yes, I would tell my younger self to limit her judgments of herself and others and to stop comparing her success to others and to stop using numbers as a means to judge her success. I really feel like I felt like weight and age and GPA and salary and all sorts of things. My younger version just really used that. That's why I created the More Than My Numbers campaign, for sure, was that 15-year-old me could not see past 120 on the scale as being my version of success. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would tell her that what I've learned now, basically, that like success is based on who you're being and why you're being that person, not on a number.
That's full circle. I love that. Yeah, but we have a situation happening in the world right now that we should we should address for a second.
Yes. There is? There's a situation happening in the world right now?
But so, yes, that's why we're taking, if you might notice the audio in this, we're all Zooming from our own households because we are social distancing, the new term that we've come to take on as normal now. But I just wanted to hear a little bit about your experience so far. How has your life changed so far?
Yes. So we're talking about the coronavirus and COVID-19, which today, the date that we are actually filming this is April 6th. So just over a month ago, I was actually in New York. I had already moved to Oklahoma, which was a big deal for us. And I was back for work and I was supposed to leave New York on the 14th and already things were starting to shut down. Yes, and so I left today. Yep. Yeah, I left a day early on Friday the 13th, got out early at 7 a.m. and just like left and came back to Oklahoma. So here in OK, we are in a really different situation. And in some ways, again, I'm extremely thankful that we already lived in the middle of nowhere. So I had already been practicing social distancing by accident because when I moved here, everything was virtual. I didn't have any friends here. I wasn't spending time with anybody. And I had gone through a really hard time in being away from people that I loved. And in some ways, I think that prepared me for this. But also, we're relatively safe here. You know, like there's really not a lot of people. There's just by pure population alone, we're pretty safe. Also, my husband is able to work still here, whereas what he was doing in New York, he wouldn't have been able to. So we're so thankful for his paycheck. And I already had like a home office set up, which I didn't in New York City. I was working out of an office space. So in some ways, logistically, we are extremely thankful. In other ways, I feel this strange survivor's guilt or like FOMO almost with my friends back in New York. You know, they're really in it and really going through it. And you know, New Yorkers are survivors. Like we are really good at surviving together and getting through hard stuff together. And so while I'm so thankful, I have this complicated feeling of like, God, I wish I could be there to support you, but also like to be in it with you and feel that with you. So I'm just doing my best to support my friends and let them know it's all going to be okay. But also I have a very privileged experience right now where we are. For me, I will be honest, especially at the beginning of this, I really felt the anxiety. I mean, again, I had that day of me in the parka with the with the wine and the slippers because I'm very empathetic. So I was feeling everybody's anxiety around this besides my own. And yeah, it's really hard and scary to see people out of work. And yeah, there's no right way to feel in this. Like, I don't think anyone's doing it right. And I also feel like there's a lot of pressure in my entrepreneur world to like use this time to pivot and like, you know, sell the stuff and grow your business and like do all the self-development and stuff. And I'm like, cool, that it's a great time to do that. It's also a great time to like rest and not do a dang thing. Like there's just no right way to go through this. And I think the more practiced we get at honoring what we need and then choosing our actions based on that, we're all better off. So yeah. So the short story is that I definitely felt the feelings. It was really difficult at first. And now I feel like I'm in a place where I am so thankful and able to move through this without feeling like the emotional roller coaster every day. I'm evening out a little bit more.
We have a few rapid fire questions that we'd like to end with.
Great, let's do it.
Let's do this. Cats or dogs?
Cats.
Paper or plastic?
Paper.
Money or free time?
Free time.
Nature or nurture?
Oh man.
That's our hard one. I know.
Nurture.
Coffee or wine?
Oh no, Ellen. wine.
Rich and bored or employed and tired?
Oh man. Wait, rich and bored or employed and tired? No, I don't like either of those. I'm going to say employed and tired, I guess. No, I'll say rich. No, I don't know. Gosh, that one's terrible. Rich and bored.
I'm going with rich and bored myself. Yes, rich and bored.
When do you feel the most energy, morning or evening?
I'm a midday maven. I really, everyone's like early bird or night owl. I'm like, nope, midday. I get my stride at like 3 p.m. every day.
That's good. Yeah, I feel quite energized in the middle of the day as well.
Yeah.
Do you believe in love at first sight?
I do. I fell in love with my husband literally the moment our eyes met.
Have you seen those memes lately? Like, I'm ready to date now. And there's a worldwide pandemic that's like never going to enable me to see another human again. So
I know.
I know. Ready to date. No, you're not.
Yeah. I mean, this is an opportunity to date yourself, which I highly recommend. I did that for a full year before I met my husband.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. This is lovely.
Thank you for listening to The Curvy Pod. Let's continue living above the curve.